It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, a new week and a brand new month begins here at the Horn. Yes, indeed, it is the first day of March 2021. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. And if you want to enhance your listening experience, well, feel free to run on by headon.live, click on the chat room. And if you've never been there before, pick out a screen name and a password, jump right in during the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, it's a merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza. And if you do come by here in the immediate near future, you'll be immediately greeted by Anatole and Oregon Larry and Otto DeShot and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator and it being a lovely day in Northern California as we count down to the first day of spring, Sparky has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. And just arriving, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. So hail, hail, some of the gangs all here. And the only person missing in the chat room is you. You know who you are, right? Yes. So every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so thanks go out for this first day of March to our first day of the month subscribers, and that means thanks very kindly to Shorty in L.A. Thanks very kindly to Rusty. Thank you to Joseph. Thanks to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you all very kindly. And let's see, for the 28th, that would be Sunday. Thank you to Joseph. Thank you to Randy in PA. Thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Suman. Thank you to Robert in Australia, our lone subscriber for the 27th of the month. Thank you all very kindly indeed. And, of course, this being the first day of the month, it means we have Bruce's Memorial Challenge on the table, as we remember our dear friend from up Wisconsin way, a proud son of Michigan that he was. And I sure wish he was still with us. But thanks to Labor Man, our buddy Gary in New Mexico. Thank you as well to Chris in Germany and to Ralphs up in Wisconsin. Well, thank you all so very much because, well, there's a doubling challenge on the table that gets every month started. So if we can raise $400 this evening, $300. What am I thinking? If we can raise $300 this evening, it will get doubled to get us off to a good start for the beginning of this month of March, wherein we beware the Ides. Mm-hmm. Now, as noted previously, it turns out the Ides of March are going to be my 6 month anniversary without a cigarette, which I find ironic, But in addition to that, I had a note from our buddy Rico in the Thawing Berg. Subject line, death songs and a challenge. I thoroughly enjoyed Friday on the Front Porch, and especially your playing of the cringeworthy country songs. You'd be said that there was an amazing response to that over the week. People love that. And, you know, we got to laugh. Sometimes we just need a good belly laugh, and those were good for it. Jesus, this is Jimmy. And that line, Jesus is down a well, has wreaked havoc all across the great globe round as people howled with laughter along with us who did it live on Friday. Rico says, it's so glad to hear you laugh, Robin. Speaking of tacky and crass death songs, my God, Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jacks is one of the worst. A remake of a Jacques Brel song that was jaunty bubblegum arrangement that just didn't work for the theme. Oh, but the most horrible pop song ever dealing with loss was Honey by Bobby Goldsboro. Oh, I know. I know. OMFG, what a sugary, sweet, horrible song right up there with Having My Baby. Mmm. And the cringing begins anew. Anyway, for the 1st of March, my birth month, Rico says, I want to put up a $50 challenge. And if it's met, I'll add another $30 to the GoFundMe for your oral surgery. Love you as always. Love you back, Rico. Thank you so very much. So we've got $350 in challenges on the table now. And that is amazing. That would get us off to a great start for this new month. And then, of course, also... Motor City Mark wrote in and said, The Ballad of Gumby by Rick Shulman. The Lorne Green Ringo song Friday brought this flooding back into my memory. It's from a compilation of songs about Gumby from the 80s. It also included the Gumby theme song performed by Frank Sinatra Jr. Oh, dear God. Maybe later in the program, but I can't. I just can't. Not right now. No, it's too early. It's too early for that level of crazy on a brand new week and a brand new month and a brand new program. No! But thanks, Mark. Thanks a bunch. And then this. Subject line, CPAC rats. CPAC rats. CPAC rats? Robin! Yes, it is a well-known fact. Sorry, I guess we're already hiccuping on the interweb tubes. My apologies for that. Not a lot I can do about it, but thank you for letting me know, Brother Deacon. I appreciate it. Anyway, it is a well-known fact that most major cities have problems with rats. Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco being the top five. However, this past weekend, most of the rats were in Orlando, Florida. Well, Jeffrey wants to ratify the conversation. Domesticated rats can make for some very nice household pets, but the kind of rats that were in Orlando this past weekend don't belong in anybody's house, including the people's house, considering their policies can wreck family homes. There's really no arguing with Jeffrey on that point. No, there's not. Because since the pandemic hit our country, and since Trump began derisively referring to it as the Kung Flu or the China virus, millions of jobs have been lost. Millions of people have lost their living quarters. Domestic violence has risen substantially. And people of Asian descent have been unjustifiably harassed. Jeffrey wants to reiterate, it is rather apparent. Oh, dear God. That Donald Trump has rat-fucked this country. Oh, and speaking of rat-fucking, looks like the lovable Louis DeJoy has no shame either. DeJoy, upon hearing in a congressional hearing that he would likely be dismissed, had just stated, no big deal, just put the pink slip in the mail. By the time I receive the mail, my term will be up anyways. Yeah, boy, Jeffrey's on a roll. However, Joey says, I do have to agree with him because what little I saw of CPAC was really a joke, starting with Ted Cruz. Freedom! First of all, if Ted Cruz was very smart, and he isn't, he would have left Texas during the energy failure and taken his daughters to Disney World. In so doing, Cruz could have claimed that he had planned to take the trip at that time because immediately following Disney World, he had plans to assist in the setup of CPAC, and then he could have stayed for the convention. The timing would have coincided perfectly. That giraffe just keeps coming back. Honest to God. You know, Robin, last week you asked how did Rafael Cruz ever get out of Harvard. Well, shit, Robin, I'm wondering how the hell he ever got in an Ivy League school in the first place. Yes. I know. Thanks, Jeffrey. You know, Robin, Joey says every once in a while that damn giraffe really makes some good points. He does indeed. Oh, and by the way, I saw Joey sent me a link to a beautiful, beautiful photograph of an hours old or maybe 2 day old giraffe, and it was one of the sweetest things I think I've seen in ages. Anyway, yes, the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was screaming freedom from the movie Braveheart. Meanwhile, Cruz has been kissing Donald Trump's ass for the last 5 years, even after Donald insulted him and his wife, because frankly, Cruz is just too much of a coward to stand up to Donald and the maggots. Oh, no, not again. Jeffrey's back. Cruz, you're neither brave nor do you have any heart, and you looked like a complete idiot on the stage this weekend. As far as freedom is concerned, if you want real freedom, Cruz, have an operation and get your lips removed from Donald Trump's ass. Ooh, wait. That was good. Good job, Jeffrey. Way to tie up the loose ends. Then, of course, there was Josh Hawley and his elitist lecture as he claims that elitism is going to destroy the moral fabric of this country and that we need to get back to those old family values of Midwest America. You know, being stupid and maybe starting the flu pandemic. You know, that originated probably in Kansas. It's the dirty white Kansas pig farmer flu. That's what I call it. Hawley's very concerned that his children will be indoctrinated with those East Coast snotty values, so he wants his children not to forget the humble values from back home in Missouri. So just to ensure that his children are not contaminated by the elite, Hawley's raising his children in a very low-key, nostalgic neighborhood in a home. The price is out at $1.3 million. I don't think he actually has a home in Missouri right now. That was one of the problems of the election past. Jeffrey, wrapping it up for us. Yes, I fear the Monday moron maggots are going to hop on the Hawley trolley in 24, and this guy's far more dangerous than Trump. Don't worry, Trump might be in jail, but the Mafia Don will be calling the shots in 24. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 1st of March, 2021, with Giraffe not taking a cruise on the Hawley trolley. Amen, and we'll all stay off the Hawley trolley. And there's a $20 CPAC rat challenge. So that brings our total challenges up to a total of $370. And so if we can raise $370, remember that's 10 people at $37 or 37 people at $10. Or let's see, two at $185, four at $92.50. Eight at 46 and a quarter. And after that, my head starts hurting. That would be great. But anyway, there's $370 in challenges on the table to get us off to a roaring start for the month of March. And I sincerely appreciate in advance everyone who jumps in on that. I cannot begin to thank you enough. Let's see. Oh, and I had some thank yous to say. I got a wonderful... I went down to the settlements for provisions over the weekend and brought back a wonderful, wonderful box of snack crackers and, organic, wonderful the cheese crackers and, like, Ritz-like crackers and some more vegan coffee creamer that's just, I love it. It's fantastic. And some barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce, that's kind of... And then I opened the other package, and it had this wonderful collection of freeze-dried meals that you can fix up in a pinch and is actually delicious. And I was later told by our anonymous benefactor that, in fact, that barbecue sauce goes great on that Asian pork and rice meal. So thank you very, very kindly for that. Now, what's this? Tell me if you've heard this one before. A senator, a president's son, and a mystical cult leader walk into a conference center. Make up your own CPAC punchline here. Yeah, thank you very kindly to Randy and PA for that. There's punchlines, oh, plenty to be had. All right, thank you very kindly to our pal Jessica in Minnesota. She says, CPAC rat challenge met. Yes. So that wipes out the CPAC rat challenge, and now we'll move on to the remaining challenges of the evening, namely Bruce's Memorial Challenge and Rico's challenge. Rico in the Thawing Berg with the Death Song Challenge. I don't know, is that the Having My Baby Challenge, or is that the Honey by Bobby Goldsboro Challenge? Or Seasons in the Sun. Dear God. Oh, Seasons in the Sun. Ugh. And apparently we missed out. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, no. And it fits in its own way. Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan points out another crap tune we overlooked by David Geddes. Run, Joey, Run. Well, doesn't that just work out? You know, what with Joey's journal and everything. Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault. He means so much to me. Daddy, please don't. We're going to get married. Just you wait and see. Brother Bishop Steve says, of course, in classic crap fest consistency, Julie, the girl singing, gets whacked at the end of this hot mess. Oh, God. Is Jesus down a well? That has just provided such delight all weekend long. Jesus. And now we've got Julie gets whacked. Help me. I may not make it. Oh, help me make it through the program. Oh, yeah, Frank Sinatra Jr., the Gumby Heart song. Thank you, Sparky. That'll come in handy at some point when things go completely off the rails for this Moran Monday. But this being a Moran Monday, it is worth, well, and since we had the CPAC Rats report, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, it seems only appropriate to share something I got hold of earlier in the weekend. You remember when Roseanne did the national anthem? What was it, a Padres game? Or was it the Dodgers? Well, it was roundly panned as being possibly the worst rendition of the national anthem ever performed. But that was before this a cappella version of the Star Spangled Banner. I guess we all have to stand up. Actually, I'm going to kneel. I don't know who she is, but she was selected to sing the Star Spangled Banner at CPAC, and my God, there's enough clams in this rendition for a beach party clam bake. Oh, this is horrible. Get the hockey puck and the duct tape and you're not going to be okay, because it's Moran Monday, y'all. This is Moran Monday material. There she stands on top of the Nazi insignia that was the CPAC stage.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Okay, okay.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
Oops.
Whose broad stripes and birds.
What?
And the rockets ready to land.
Ow!
The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Ew!
For the land of the free.
Keep climbing, honey. You're not going to get there.
And the home of the brave.
Wow. They were only cheering because it was over, and then she marched away off the little Nazi symbol there, and that was the end of that. And oh my God, wait a minute, that's good. Hold on, Matt in San Francisco, yeah, big cowbell. Francis Scott Key. Just because it was written by Key doesn't mean it has to be sung in Key. I-A-R-I-Y-A-A-R. It's all right if you're a Republican. Ralphs. Ew, horrid. Randy Radar says, she's murdering the time. Off with her head. Oh, yeah, that just... Mm. I need to send that along to Malloy, simply because it would go great with, I mean, not at Christmas, but it needs to be added to the lineup with Oh Holy Nightmare, because at least Oh Holy Nightmare that he plays at Christmas time, at least that was deliberately bad. This was just not okay. Yeah, ew, horrid, says Ralphs. Hey, thanks to our pal Larry, we've gotten started on the Rico's. I guess having my dead baby seasons in the sun challenge. So there's $45 to go on that. Thank you so much, Larry. Thanks a ton. Dave number 11 says I tuned out early. Casey, tell me the final slot of the night Chicago died. No. Mm-mm. Man, we could do a whole thing with horrible... Oh, dear God, no. In the words of Colonel Potter, says Steve in New York, that woman sounds like a banshee in a bear trap. Yeah, we have an argument now, courtesy of Flavio. Honey, it was not a Jacques Brel melody, or none that I recognize, and I know Jacques Brel. It was written by Bobby Russell, produced it with former Kingston Trio member Bob Shane. Then he gave it to American singer Bobby Goldsboro, who recorded it for his 1968 album of the same name, originally titled Pledge of Love. The song's narrator mourns his deceased wife, beginning with him looking at a tree in their garden, remembering how it was just a twig on the day she planted it. The single was U.S. number one the week of April 7th, 1968. Yeah, it was just a twig. Right, yeah, absolutely, it was just a twig. Although it's kind of hard to, unless you're really, really adept at, grafting and stuff, it's hard to get a twig to grow, but, you know, sapling or seedling probably didn't work with the rhyme and scansion. Yeah, I told you, it's Moran Monday, Megan. Megan says, what the ever-loving shit is that caterwauling? Somebody take the cat they're torturing away from them. I told you it was awful. I don't just do things. No. the CPAC agony of defeat, says Jimmy in the Great Northwest. I don't know. Maybe they meant to hurt us. But that kind of brings us into the heart of Morian Monday. And I'm not going to torment you with the clips, maybe. But I'm sure you've all heard it by now. And that is, well, Nitwit Nero did not declare his candidacy for 24, as many people had expected. But the thing that grabbed me was that he did a call out of all the people he doesn't like. And I don't, he referred to that new and different kind of Republican, Ben Sasse, as Little Ben Sass. I haven't heard any reports on Ben Sass's height. It used to be that Marco Rubio received the moniker Little in front of his name. I don't know, but as we pointed out on this program in the past, the littlest hobbit in the Senate of the United States is, well, it's Lindsey Graham. He gets a little bit shorter every day. He does. I'm not kidding. It's horrifying. But the point is that he, and I think this is an important miss for the for-profit media. And that's this. He mentioned by name everyone who had spoken out against him or voted to impeach him or voted to convict him. And you know, and I know, that the purpose of that was to garner the ire of the maggots. And as such, it was an exercise in something that we have discussed here on this program a number of occasions, called stochastic terrorism. It is the use of mass media to try to influence someone, some anonymous someone out in the target audience, to engage in a terroristic act against the enemies as named. Now, this program, and nor I, will ever be the Ben Sasse or Liz Cheney fan club. But I also don't hold with political violence or violence of much any other kind unless it is self-defense. And so I hope the respective staffs of the people whose lives Nitwit Nero put in jeopardy, I hope they paid attention, and I hope that they are going to take appropriate precautions, because it's March 1, and remember, time after time after time, we've been told that come March 4th, they intend to get up to some more bloody violence. So that's, and I don't understand why the for-profit media runs away from performing a vital public service in terms of educating the American people, or such people as they can get to watch, on a concept like stochastic terrorism. Because I think we need to know it. But then again, if CNN and MSNBC and NBC and CBS and ABC all did packages on stochastic terrorism, you're still not going to reach about, 33% of the American people who probably need to understand it the most. And I'm talking, of course, about the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggots who sit around picking their teeth with their toenail clippings and watch things like Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, or Newsmuck, or the Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. So that's one of the things that I wanted to get started with this evening, because so it's so often the case that as I watch and monitor the multimillionaires of the for-profit media, it's what they don't say a lot more than what they do say. And people need to know what stochastic terrorism is. So that's just something for us to ponder. Yes, March the 4th is this Thursday, Ralphs reminds us. And I hope, I mean, there was more detail out in the last couple of weeks of some of the shit that's planned. So at least they're in D.C., at least they're on alert and on notice. As to stochastic terrorism, Steve in New York says, stochastic terrorism, yes, but there's always the money grift to get the maggots to send in their money, of course. And as, going back to that torment of the Star-Spangled Banner, Arnold in PA says, I applauded when it was over. Thank fuck it's over, thank fuck it's over, thank fuck it's over. What the hell melody was she singing to? That's what suicide's for. Oh, brutal, Arnold. Brutal. So that's just a starting point. By the way, there was some good news today. I take it as good news. The Senate Permanent Committee on the Judiciary approved Merrick Garland to be Attorney General today. The vote was 15-7, and even Chuck Grassley, who has been known to reach across and eat dinner off of a little girl's plate. Sorry, Carol. Said, I plan to vote for him. I hope that my trust is not misplaced. You stupid old goat. You voted for him when he got put onto the court by a 99-1 margin. So hopefully he will be as serious as he said he was going to be about chasing down the instigators, the funders, all drill down into all of it as to how January the 6th actually happened. So 15-7 isn't bad. It looks like he will possibly be confirmed by the full Senate as early as later on in this week. And that's promising. So add that to the win column. Darlene in Connecticut says, oh, Robin, you're so catty, LOL. Where are my earplugs? That was the worst ever. As a variation on the greatest of all time, GOAT, that hands down was a moat. Most offensive of all time, Star-Spangled Banner. But that's what you get when real musicians don't want to touch you with a 39.5-foot pole. Precisely. That was the length of the pole, I think, in The Grinch. Was it not, Darlene? Was that where you were going? Yeah. The dogs all say, ouch, Robin, torture's still illegal, LOL. Look, please, for God's sake, don't play that effort again. Send it to my lawyer if you must. However, I fear for Mike's safety if he listens to it. All the dogs I've ever known, even the dead ones, are saying, ouch. She'll have a gold record out of that from the maggots. Please, for God's sake, that kind of noise is considered torture under several international conventions. I beg you, refrain from playing that ever again. Your buddy Dave, nursing a sore ear in the blind. Well, I understand that. And look, I guess we've got a new threat, don't we? Mm-hmm. So as long as we're making progress and we're knocking down the challenges and stuff, we should be good. And I won't have to play that again. Yep. Yep, it was a 39.5-foot pole, Darlene confirms, that no one would touch the Grinch with. So, well played, Darlene, well played. Brian says, cut off that mic! Yeah. Okay. Don't worry, I won't, because we're making real progress. Thank you very kindly to Tom in sunny San Rafael. And thanks to a brand new subscriber. Thank you, Greg, for a brand new subscription. And that takes us down to, that wipes out Rico's challenge. Rico's death songs, having my baby in the sun challenge. And that means $30 gets added also to the GoFundMe page, which is awesome. We're getting closer, ever closer, so that I can eventually get this miserable bit of surgery out of the way. Because it is not fun. We're $700 away from the halfway point, just so you know. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Tom and sunny San Rafael. Much obliged. Yeah, I liked Moat, too. Most offensive of all time. I think we'll have to hang on to that. It's like that's a cousin to a gnur, the opposite of a ring, cowbell ring. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was that, too. I didn't miss it. I saw the clips. Megan says, you missed Roger Stone practically breakdancing next to some third-rate rapper rapping how Trump really won the election. You want another assault on your senses, you can't go wrong with that. I think I've done enough damage for the moment. Pretty sure. Because that was really awful. Painful. How about that, though? It turns out, remember when Nitwit Nero got out of the hospital and we all speculated whether he actually had it? You know, the Rona? The Dondemic? The Trump virus? Yeah, well, news has broken that right before he left the White House in a shambles, he was in a shambles, and the White House was too. He and melanoma decided to go ahead and, but he said, I'm immune. Some people say perhaps forever. But just the same, just to be sure, Nitwit Nero got himself, got his distemper shot before he left the White House. But somehow or another, they hid it instead of publicizing it. It could have gone a long way toward getting the maggots vaccinated, and I know you don't care if the maggots get vaccinated. I understand every bit of it. I so do. But the problem is that we got to get the maggots vaccinated, too, if we're going to get the vaccine numbers up enough to stop this goddamn thing and get back to something resembling normal pre-pandemic life. Not that it really, if you're in maggot states, that's, you know, there are caveats involved. I think Talibama now has the highest rate of infection in the country. Or one of the highest, and is horrible at getting people vaccinated. And then I heard something earlier today that just gave me the howling creeps. Our pal Haley in Arkansas said that in Arkansas the schools opened last fall, and that they were briefly shut down in the past couple of weeks because of the horrific winter weather. And restaurants have just reopened. because I guess the virus doesn't affect Arkansans. But on top of all that, and we haven't had much of these to talk about of late, but there was a school shooting in Arkansas today. And you never really quite know how to say. Could have been worse. But one student died. And one juvenile has been taken into custody. And it was almost immediately after the schools reopened. Of course, Arkansan media probably won't say much in terms of what kind of weapon or motivations or any of that stuff. Haley pointing out, I'm expecting the swamps to be filled with references to thugs, gangs, dangerous young black men, stolen guns, but nothing about how the accused juvenile shooter sourced the gun, family member, best friend, straw purchase, so forth. Arkansas gun laws, Haley notes, are pretty lax as it is. It's easier to buy a gun in Arkansas than a beer. And then, it's just another gun horror. Because, of course, during the press conference by the Pine Bluff, Arkansas chief of police, there was no mention of what type of firearm was used. No mention whatsoever. The horror. The horror. Oh, wow. That's good. Our pal Dennis says, possible book title regarding the Trump family White House years. Wait for this. This is quality. It Takes a Pillage. Ooh! That's a dandy. That's a real dandy. And so, as far as More in Monday stuff is concerned, I wanted to make sure we touched on this one. This story comes from Reuters, you know, legitimate news source. It begins, last September in the arid hills of northern Nevada, a cluster of flowers found nowhere else on Earth died mysteriously overnight. Conservationists were quick to suspect Pioneer Limited, an Australian firm that wants to mine the lithium that lies beneath the flowers for use in electric vehicle batteries. The flower itself is known as Thiem's, T-I-E-H-M's, buckwheat, and they were dug up and destroyed because the conservation group has sued over it. I'm sorry, it's not Pioneer, it's Ioneer. The rare plant posed a problem for Ioneer because U.S. officials may soon add it to the endangered species list, which could scuttle the mining project in the hills of northern Nevada. The title to this story, To Go Electric, America Needs More Mines. Can it build them? Oh, great. Just what we need. More mining. And, of course, I'm sure Ioneer, that Australian firm, will say, well, as far as we can tell, there aren't any living beings out there. Shouldn't be a problem. And what's a flower here and there in the grand scheme of the great die-off? The ecocide that we're hell-bent on. But it goes back to something that Van Jones said years and years ago. I heard him say I think it was Power Shift. Was it 2009, maybe? He said, if we do not fund, and this was back when he still had credibility, if we do not fundamentally change the way we approach our international relationships and our relationships intranationally, then all we're going to do is wind up fighting wars over lithium to power the batteries on our freaking tanks. And there's truth in that. But what Reuters reports is that the clash of environmental priorities underpinning the battle over Team's buckwheat, conservation versus green energy, is a microcosm of a much larger political quandary for the new administration of Joe President Biden, who's made big promises to environmentalists as well as labor groups and others who stand to benefit by boosting mining. To please conservationists, that phrase, Biden has vowed to set aside at least 30% of U.S. federal land and coastal areas for conservation, triple current levels. But as Reuters points out, that's in conflict with his other stated desire to get more electric vehicles on the road and replace fossil fuels with electricity. The other thing that works into that as well, though, is that when you add electrical vehicles into the grid, you're going to need a lot more electricity. That means burning a lot more frack gas, or even more horrifically, burning more coal, more nuke, more solar and wind. And there really are no easy answers to all of this. But Reuters says two sources familiar with White House deliberations on domestic mining told Reuters that Biden plans to allow mines that produce EV metals to be developed under existing environmental standards rather than face a tightened process that would apply to mining for other materials such as coal. I will wait and see on that one. He's said to be open to allowing more mines on federal land, but they can't just dig everywhere they want. But it looks like they certainly have done so in northern Nevada. And it's a hallmark of the mining industry. They live by the old adage that it is easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. But my God, there's a gang of them that are just waiting to get going. Lewis Black, the CEO of Almonte Industries, Inc., they mine tungsten in Portugal and South Korea, said, there's no way there's enough raw materials being produced right now to start replacing millions of gasoline-powered motor vehicles with EVs. And so Rio Tinto Limited, BHP Group Limited, Antofagasta PLC, Lithium Americas Corp., Glencore PLC, and a host of other companies are gearing up to rip the living shit out of the United States of America in an ongoing search for the things that go into electric vehicles. And they're looking to supply enough lithium for more than 5 million EV batteries and enough copper for more than 10,000 EVs every year. And as usual, the mining companies tell the same old filthy lies. Well, we ain't going to mess things up too much. Then they get their money, go bankrupt, and split. So there's a move on by green groups like Earthworks to try to get automakers to say they will only purchase EV metals from approved and certified mines. Good luck with that. The certification group is called Initiative for Responsible Mining Assurance, IRMA. And BMW, Ford, and Daimler have all signed on to agree to abide by IRMA standards. But then, unless you are actively engaged in making sure the standards are enforced, Well, there's a whole lot of whoopsie in all of that. And, of course, one of the most fragile areas that is currently protected by federal law under the Boundary Waters Agreement, Polymet Mining Corporation and Antofagasta PLC's Twin Metals subsidiary are trying to ramp up massive copper mining operations in and around the Boundary Waters of northern Minnesota. That will ruin whatever is left of things like, oh, wild rice beds that have been feeding millions of people for thousands of years. And I'm sure that people in places like northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota are gearing up for this. Along the St. Louis River in northern Minnesota, there's already been tremendous damage done. Pete Marshall of Friends of the Boundary Waters said, if these were coal mines, I'd feel much more comfortable knowing they wouldn't be approved. But they're deeply concerned that because they aren't, and because the regulations dealing with them are less stringent, that they will. And if they get approved, not to be alarmist or anything, but if they get approved, goodbye Boundary Waters. And all of the water defenders up in that region know that to be a fact. Because it is. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on that. And I know, we're cutting Joe Biden slack. And it's, there have been a couple of moments where it's like, I'm not feeling real slacky right now. I'm really sick and tired of the games being played in the Senate with people's lives. You know, we talked about that on Friday, I think it was. Heather Bresch, I'd be surprised if she's even 50. That's Joe Manchin's daughter. Just a reminder, when she retired from Mylan Pharmaceuticals, and remember the stadium there at my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon, WVU, is known as, because he gave a shit ton of money, it's known as Mylan Puskar Stadium at Mountaineer Field, which makes no sense, but never mind, there was money involved. He founded Mylan and was a great friend of Joe Manchin's. And then lo and behold, his daughter worked her way up to the CEO spot and only retired recently after moving the headquarters of Mylan Pharmaceuticals from Morgantown, West Virginia, to the Netherlands to avoid taxation. Well, when she retired last year, and isn't that just, doesn't that just piss you off? We have to work until we're 65, 67, 70. And it seems that every year the idea, the old idea, the old good idea of a retirement with some dignity to it gets further and further out of reach. But Heather Bresch called it quits, retired. If she's 50, I'm surprised. She's damn sure not my age, because that would have meant that Joe Manchin fathered her when he was like 14 or something. But she just got to knock off, because after you put in a few years making $9,150 an hour, you can say, hey, I just want to spend the rest of my life on in a lovely yacht, sailing the ocean blue, just sort of puttering around the Caribbean, perhaps, or on the downhill run to Papeete. That's for them, not for us. And it makes it absolutely disgusting to see people like Manchin saying that it would collapse the economy if somebody who spends 8 hours a day on their feet at a burger joint was to make two-thirds of a living wage. And never mind that it won't come in for 4 more years, that we won't even reach the $15 an hour 25. It is. It's infuriating. You know, how dare you? The nerve, the gall. And I don't know how... all we can do in the present time is letter them, email them, never take the pressure off, show them the damn good reasons for why working people deserve a living wage. I especially despise those people who say, well, you know, I had a minimum wage job when I was in high school when I was like 17, and I always understood that the minimum wage was a place for starting out. And I've never earned the minimum wage since. You know, I don't know, I guess because blessed by God or some such shit as that. But either oblivious or frankly just not caring about people who have to feed families, who have to keep roofs overhead, who have to clothe, care for, transport families on not even $10 an hour? If this supposed greatest economy in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, is as star-spangled awesome as we are constantly told, then how awesome is an economy that can't function without abusing people literally to death? Not very awesome at all, is it? And so in addition to that, there's another story that's getting a lot of clicks and eyeballs and so forth right now. This particular story was published at CTV News, Canadian. The Canadians picked this story up, and it's outraging people in Canada. Comes out of Alabama. Brother Deacon Asa turned me on to this, and not in a good way. He was as disgusted as am I. And beyond disgusted, it's damned well embarrassing. It's the story of a 7-year-old girl. The girl's not disgusting. But this story has gone around the world, and it's one of those things that makes everybody point at us and say, wow, y'all are fucked up, aren't you? Little girl, 7 years old, is selling lemonade at a lemonade stand that her daddy and her grandpa built in their bakery in the Birmingham area. She wanted to sell lemonade because she's been diagnosed with brain cancer. Multiple brain cancer. Multiple cerebral malformations. And at the end of January, she had a seizure at 7. Take a moment and just try to imagine how horrifying it is to have a seizure at any time in life. But at 7? At 7? Her name is Liza Scott. and she's going to have multiple brain surgeries. The first one, I think, happens this week up in Boston, because, by God, they can't do it in Alabama.
Because they got conservative family values, and they want small government.
And they also didn't accept the Medicaid expansion, which means that the vast number of rural hospitals, and it's not even the kind of hospital that would do this work, but rural hospitals in Alabama are on the verge of closure. But yeah, little Liza put up a lemonade stand inside the family business, a bakery, in hopes of raising enough money for her own brain surgery. Bernie Sanders' campaign co-chair for Arizona, Brianna Westbrook, said, "The American pay-to-live healthcare system is inhumane. No child should have to sell lemonade to pay for brain surgery. We need a healthcare system. Everyone in, nobody left out, no co-pays, no deductibles, free at the point of service." No one thinks it's free. We all know we're going to pay for it. But there's a better way to pay for it so that everybody gets covered. Where the hell is expanded CHIP on this? Does CHIP not work in Alabama? Or is the family in that nightmare area where, well, the child can't get CHIPs because they make too much, but their insurance, the co-pays and the deductibles and bullshit. And so we find ourselves in a national embarrassment. A national horror. And 7-year-olds set up lemonade stands to pay for their multiple brain surgeries on their multiple cerebral malformations. Liza's mother said, "My dad and I built it for her," so it was her mom and her grandpa. Yeah, Mama went on and said, "When all this sort of came about, she wanted to sell lemonade again to raise money to help cover the cost of our being out of town for several weeks at a time and surgeries and things like that. We've been a family bakery here in Birmingham for 80 years. Jesus, what is that? Since 1941. And she added, Mama did, "It's been amazing to see how much she's captured the hearts of people all over the world. It's not anything we ever expected." And of course it does. Of course it captures people's hearts. And of course it's infuriating. Because you've got a 7-year-old child in Birmingham, Alabama, selling lemonade for her own brain surgeries to cover costs. In the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. That it turns out resembles a lot more of one of those shithole countries that COVID Caligula babbled about during the 4 nightmare years of his maladministration. As Randy Radar points out, at $7.25 an hour, you'd better be praying to Jesus real hard. Well, pray and pray, live on hay, there'll be pie in the sky when you die, as Joe Hill wrote accurately all those decades ago. And they hanged him. Now, the upside to this is the family has raised $236,000 for her care. But this idea of people having to put on, and I'm part of it too, funding campaigns to get badly needed medical care is patently offensive. You know, there's not going to be a single Republican votes for the latest COVID relief bill when it goes through the Senate. I would wager that. And it will probably take Kamala Harris coming in, assuming that Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin can somehow be persuaded to do the right, decent, and humane thing and vote for the bill. Kamala Harris will have to come in and probably break a 50-50 tie. Because the entire Republican Party is that indecent. The entire Republican Party looks at a 7-year-old girl and says, well, you know, I guess that's just what Jesus wants for her in her life. But you can't lay it entirely on the at the Republicans' doorstep, because people like Joe Manchin think that people will just spend all their time going to the damn doctor just for fun. If people can just go to the doctor when they're sick. And that in itself is sick. Because Joe's kids have never had to worry. Joe's grandkids don't have to worry. Hell, I don't know if Heather Bresch has kids. I presume she does. But they're not never going to have to sell lemonade if there's some sort of horrific disease process diagnosis. We simply don't exist to them. We're vapor. And the idea of quibbling over COVID relief and the sickening knowledge at the gut level that if we do manage to pass a bill and we send out another $1,400, that good luck. It's almost as though we don't have a serious government. Now, let me back up. We got at least half the government that isn't serious. Half the government looks at a 7-year-old child with brain cancer and says, ah, fuck all y'all. How did my portfolio do this month? And they'll just let people die. And say, what? That's how God wanted it to be? Arnold points out, it's not my original thing. Rick Smith says pay or die Republican health care is pay or die. It's not really health care, the Republican idea. It's more like a health hostage situation. And if you don't have the fucking ransom, you don't live. And I don't, you know, of course, this is one of those moments where I know that I'm preaching, I've turned around to the pulpit and I'm preaching to the choir. No, it's not Wednesday. But what does it take to get through? What does it take to get through to our betters? How do we teach them that it's not okay to do this to the American people? How do we teach them that the Affordable Care Act isn't and doesn't provide much? I think I finally have some health care. It's not going to do a damn thing about the oral surgery, but it might cover doctor visits and things like that. And I'm going to be north of $600 a month for it. And hope that it works. Jeremy in Vermont, healthcare. We have a national healthcare program here, Robin. It's called If You Get Sick, Die Quickly and Don't Complain Along the Way Because Jesus is Watching. I think Jeremy's talking about Manchin healthcare add-on. He's watching, doing nothing, but he's definitely watching. Oh, no, that's Jesus not doing anything. And you see these things on social media, and they say, first of all, pray. Oh, it's really kind of a last of all things. You got too many consonants in that word. It's first of all, pay. And pay. And pay. And pay. And it's going to be, oh, thank goodness the child, little Liza, has what it'll take to take care of her and make it possible for her parents to be able to stay with her during these harrowing surgeries. But those are the exceptions and not the rule. And this is part of the larger universe of bad policy. It's by analogy, it's like what happens when gambling comes to a state. I remember when we first got things like Powerball and various, you know, dollar a ticket games, and they brought in the scratch offs and all of that crap here. And the big selling point for all of it was, hey, this is gonna go to senior care and programs for our veterans. But without fail, every time this happens, state legislatures say, hey, that means we can take the budget money out of that and put it somewhere that's real fun, especially if your state is run by a bunch of goddamn Republicans. And so budgets wind up going begging while the gambling money doesn't do half of what it was promised to do. And like I said, this is an analogy. It's always good for a click, and the stories are always there. Yeah, so Mr. the great philanthropist J.P. Gottrocks gave $11 billion. I don't care. That should be in addition to what is being done for the people by the government. Waiting on a billionaire's philanthropy is a sucker's game. But that's exactly the model that this story is built on. Exactly, says Arnold. They use lottery in Pennsylvania to benefit older Pennsylvanians. What a crock of shit. Let's take care of the aged, Arnold notes, by robbing them. There are billboards in West Virginia along the highways that say, it shows an older woman sitting in front of one of the little electronic one-armed bandits. And it says, don't spend your golden years hooked to a machine. And of course, the civil libertarian side of me, and that's the only way I'll ever use the word libertarian to describe myself, it is in no wise connected to the libertardians, the Republicans who want to be able to smoke dope. But the civil libertarian inside of me says, you know, people want to gamble, let them gamble. People want to go to prostitutes, let them go to prostitutes. People want to get high, get drunk, let them do it. Not government, you know, government isn't in the morality business. But no sooner does a Republican libertarian say something like that than they turn around and say, yeah, but we ain't got to pay for it when they get sick from it. Just filling out my Affordable Care Act application. First question they asked, are you a tobacco user? And I proudly answered, no. Because I'm not. No cigars, no cigarettes, no
Skoll or Copenhagen or Happy Days Mint. Put a little pinch between your cheek and gum. No. And that, of course, affects the cost of health care.
Because while smokers, tobacco users, subsidize, supposedly, the S-CHIP program and the expansion of CHIP into S-CHIP, we're going to punish those people who are supporting that system by charging them more for health care when they're already paying for a health care program that, oh, I don't know, greasy potato chip eaters don't have to pay for, that booze drinkers don't have to pay for. I despise those regressive taxes. If we care enough about our kids to have a health insurance program for kids, then wouldn't that mean that those Republicans who value life should be lining up to pay for it? Not quite how it works out, though, is it? No. Oh, hey, thank you, Jeremy. We are now $10 into Bruce's Memorial Challenge. That means we've got $290 to go. And again, thank you to Laborman and Ralps and Chris in Germany for that, for putting forward that beginning of the month challenge every month. $290 to go, 29 at 10, 10 at 29, et cetera, et cetera. And we are almost to the halfway mark of the program. If we could get 29 people with $10, it would be wonderful. And if they were all new subscribers, I don't know what I would do. It'd be great. Flavio points out that's the entire point. The Republicans have been working to destroy government and trust in government since Reagan. They said so. They've never wavered in their mission. They don't want government to work. And I saw a statistic, by the way, since we've been having discussions about Joe Manchin of late. Someone analyzed his Senate votes, and he votes with the Republicans 54% of the time. That means he's only 46% a Democrat.
Well, we have to have balance. We've got to have bipartisanship.
And so if he screws America over on COVID relief because no Republican will jump in on it,
you know, it has to be bipartisan or I won't vote for it.
I mean, isn't that bipartisanship for bipartisanship's sake? If the house is burning down and Joe is standing there with a bucket of water and says, I'm not going to throw my bucket of water on the fire unless the arsonist comes and throws some water on too. That's not a problem. That's not a systemic problem about, for lack of bipartisanship. That's just bullshit politics. That's self-absorbed ego. That's all that is. Randy Radar points out, taxes and fees are one-third of my phone bill because who needs a phone?
Right.
How do we get through to our betters, Steve in New York asks. As much as I hate to say it, there is something to be said for making our government fear us. It's not a matter of teaching them. It's a matter of making them fear us, whatever fear means in that situation, for not doing the right thing. Fear us at the ballot box? Well, again, Robert C. Byrd, for whom the Byrd Rule is named, said, There are only two ways to run an election: unopposed and scared to death. But it seems really difficult. Call, write, email, picket outside their local offices, outside Kristen Sinema's office. In, I don't know, Phoenix, Flagstaff, Tucson. Make them hear you. Make them defend the indefensible, namely the filibuster. Show them the pictures of the people who have died
while they defended a legislative tool that was used by the aforementioned Robert Byrd to try to stop the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And then paint them with, not a broad brush, paint them with a fucking roller. Start putting out pictures, Photoshopped pictures of Joe Manchin with a little pointy Klan hat on his little head. Do the same to Kyrsten Sinema. Make her own her own horrible, horrible, indefensible, unconscionable decision. So, going at first pray, Stephen New York says, again, I got plenty of issues with my home church, although I'm only a marginal member. However, the church pounded this into my brain from James. Faith without works is dead. Beyond that, this is another example of evangelicals or Christians, but not followers of the Middle Eastern short, swarthy Jew who probably didn't bathe, was largely homeless, and hung out with hookers. Whatever happened to this from James? The passage in question. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? It's almost as though James, the brother of Jesus, anticipated the entire thoughts and prayers movement, tots and pears. So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Indeed, someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. And this is probably one of those moments when I, you know, lose people. But the bottom line is that they kind of had to include James when the Council of Nicaea gathered to figure out what was going to go into the Holy Book. And they let James in because James is a direct counter-argument to this idea that all you've got to do is believe. You got to believe. You know, this ain't the fucking 69 Mets. You got to do something. And, of course, Joe Manchin is said to be a devout believer. Yes, thank you, Jeremy, for that reminder. I was miscalculating. We are further along than I had thought because Jeremy's Friday night $50 challenge got applied this evening, and that means that we are down to 40, 24 people at 10 bucks a piece, or 10 people at 24 bucks a piece. We're down to 240 to finish Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thanks for that reminder, Jeremy. I appreciate it. So that's huge. Yeah, Randy Radar says, you got two choices at the ballot box, the bad and the horrible. I'm voting for the bad. Yeah. And you do, you vote for them, and then you hope that somewhere along the way the bad can get better, because that's where that whole don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good thing comes in. Perfect is not on the menu. Right? Yeah. So let's pop over and see what's going on with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Robin, how's it going?
Ah, pretty good. How was your weekend?
Oh, let's see. It was pretty, it was nice, actually. It got really nice. One Saturday was nice, really nice. But, of course, it was the bait and switch, and now I don't know what's going on with this weather, man. It won't stop raining. It rains every other day.
Oh, it got real floody here over the last 24 hours. And I've got hope. Tomorrow and Wednesday are both supposed to be just bluebird days with highs in the low to mid 50s. So I'm hoping for good things. Mm. Oh, and you reminded me of something. I have a late afternoon appointment tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It is possible I will not be on time for the program, but I will make every effort to get here in time enough for us to have a program. But that appointment is there. I'll try to, if the program starts going to be interfered with, I will I'll let Brother Deacon Asa know and put it out on social media. So thanks for the little brain tickler there. Appreciate it, Todd.
Well, if you feel up to it, I don't know how I did, but if you feel up to it, do it. If some program is better than no program, but no, only if you're up to it.
I should be. I just, if I'm back in time, it's over in Beckley, so that's an, mm-hmm. that's an hour's drive, so I have to be done by 4 to be here by 5. We'll cross our fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But how are the roads there? I'm just curious, like when it floods, because, you know, in springtime, the potholes open up usually.
My God. There's a pothole on the road that I take out to the bridge, kind of a back road. I think it would swallow a Yugo.
Damn. A Yugo. Oh, that's maybe they should use those to fill them up, because they were worthless anyway.
Well, I mean, you could probably put them in the car crusher, the compressor, and it might fit right in the, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. They're
and it rained so hard. I was down in the settlements for provisions earlier today, and the intersection of US 19 with Main Street in Fayetteville, hell, part of Main Street washed out. It just rained, and it led up today, and it's just kind of cold and cloudy and windy. But tomorrow, I really do. I've got great hopes for tomorrow and Wednesday.
I think we passed, well, at least here, and I heard you a couple, I don't know, last week or whatever, talking about the birds, and it made me notice, and the birds are back out, so it's coming.
Oh, yeah, and last night, I even posted a little poem on Facebook, but last night, I had to walk out into the rain, and I walked out around to the front of the house, and lo and behold, I heard the peepers, you know, the little tiny frogs. But that's one of the most lovely, hopeful sounds signaling the end of winter. And they were just singing, they were singing their little froggy hearts out, and it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, in the summertime, when you're in the south, when you're driving, you have the windows down, you can hear them in the evening.
Oh, yeah, especially if you're on the back roads and you come around somewhere where there's a little creek running by the road, or, you know, little holler or something like that, they'll be up that high just chirping away.
Oh, it's a good thing. Well, you know, I took a little break from, what else did I do this weekend? I was just, work was crazy, man. I had some strange folks come in. But, this CPAC, right, I took a break. I didn't watch, I just saw the clips. But in between, I was kind of shocked hearing this news about this credible information that these folks are not done yet. They wanted to, like, do damage to the Capitol. I'm not going to use the B word, even though that's what they used. But if they're saying that, there's somebody that's got to be something to it.
Yeah, this isn't just paranoid speculation. It's out there, and we've talked about it. I mean, we've gone to the source. We've seen where they're talking about it, because they have to they have to put Nitwit Nero back in on March the 4th so he can be the real president of the real non-corporate America. Because now the goddamn sovereign citizens have gotten into the act.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
See,
every one of these things keeps failing, Todd, and there's always a fallback position. And I'm guessing on March 5th, they're going to say that when Trump still isn't president, they're going to say that Joe Biden is actually Trump in a Joe Biden mask.
Yeah.
What else? What do they got? Anything else?
They're grasping at air, you know, no straws anymore. It passed that. But you know, it's interesting because it's so much here. But when I talk with my Republican friends, you know, I look at her and I'm like, you're a decent person, and we have these nice conversations. But so this is what you say you're behind. This is what the policy that you like. But why with this party now? How can you call yourself a Republican when really when it's been distilled that down now? They're just racist, lying people who are using the folks that support them. You know, the facts bear it out. If you work for a living, if you work for a check, they're not for you.
Oh, hell no. And look, the scramble now, I mean, last week we had Moscow Mitch saying, you know, on the day that he was acquitted, that Nitwit Nero was acquitted in the Senate, he said, well, this was all his fault, and we can't be acting like that, and it's unacceptable behavior. What he did was just terrible. And so last week, you know, well, yeah, I know, but if he's the nominee, I'm sure going to, I'd support him in 24. Sure, you betcha. And then, of course, the brain side of the Republican Women's Committee, and I'm talking about Nimrata Haley, the woman who was punked by the Moscow Morning Zoo crew into thinking she was talking to the president of Poland about a non-existent island nation called Bonomo. She said, well, we never should have followed him. And then lo and behold, over the weekend, it's like, you know, his shit definitely doesn't stink, and I just think he's awesome. And I would vote for him, wouldn't you? And see, this is all the power play. It's like what Joey was talking about in his journal at the beginning of the program. This is all the power play for the maggots, and I've been talking about it for a while. They have to suck up to him and get all Balchinian with him so that when he doesn't run, they can get his endorsement, that they can, you know, that they can get the pat on the head or get to kiss the ring or whatever the fuck it is they do, so that they can be the anointed one. You know, okay. Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Nikki, Nimrata Haley. Ugh. And that's another one.
You're leading me into...
Go, man.
You're leading me... I mean, first of all, you read my mind with Mitch McConnell because, number one, I don't know about anyone else. I'm still shocked. Every time I look at Black Lives Matter storming the Capitol and using a battering ram to break that boy, it wasn't Black Lives Matter. So every time I see these terrorists tear up the Capitol and knowing the timing was to disrupt the peaceful transition of power, they were looking for the box with the Electoral College votes in it. And they were looking to hang people and kill people and abduct people and detain people, you know, all felonies. But, of course, it's on federal property, so, you know, big-time felons. It's hard for me to pry. I can't believe this shit. It's just like, I don't care if they're black or white, but whatever, they should have shot them dead, all of them, period. You got to send a message. Reconstruction didn't last long enough. If you put up with this shit, you can't do it. You can't do it. They should have shot the motherfuckers dead. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but look, either we have a country or we don't.
Precisely. It's not one of those both sider, you know, there's a good argument to be had on both sides. Bullshit. There's treason and there's us. And that's all.
That's all. You know, I mean, now look what we have to put up with because we just did not root and branch, like you say, nip it in the bud. Now we have, you know, we are the shithole country. We are the Paulette's wearing, khaki suit wearing, you know, Mugabe, EDM, whatever. Take your pick. That's us. We can't, there's no way you can get around it now. That's us. But it's okay because they're white people. Because they're not getting what they want. And they're, you know, and it just, they need to get over it. Grow the fuck up. And, you know, I'm not trying to bring ethnicity into this, but that's what it's about. Because you know goddamn well that black people or anybody, any other group couldn't have gotten that close. And it's because we've been infiltrated. So we, you know, we got a white supremacy problem, a Nazi problem, and all that. We know that. But Beck, and then, no, okay, so you read my mind with Mitch McConnell. When he made his statement, I said, this motherfucker has skills. He listened to what the Democrats, their argument was against Trump for the insurrection, and he distilled it and made it more succinct. He made a damn, and then you understand exactly what I'm saying, right?
I absolutely do. Yes. So,
yeah, right. So they're still backing him. This because I mean, are these people? Maybe they can get a job doing something else. They need to stand up for the country. And we have all these people. If you listen to Washington Journal, man, it is scary. When you walk away, and the things they ascribe to Democrats are exactly what they're doing. You know, projection once again. It's from the top to the bottom. I don't see an easy way out of this. These people are convinced. I had no idea they were just crazy. And then, so fast forward. This is what I'm calling the clips I saw from this convention. Oh my God! What the fuck? These people are minstrels.
Yeah,
they are minstrels.
It starts with the Nazi symbolism and goes from there. And Matt Schlapp said, I'm not going to debate the stage design. You're trying to cancel us because of something you think is not. Fuck! How many, you know, they showed the stage design. I mean, who did this? Who did the stage design? Was it the Boogaloo Boys? The Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters? Little bitches?
They're going to try to convince you that you're just making that up.
Yeah, you can't. You don't really see what your lying eyes are seeing.
You know, like they tell us, you're just too sensitive. You know, no, I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. So don't tell me I'm too sensitive. And you
yeah,
I mean.
Too sensitive.
Right. So... You know, but and then when the mentally ill patches got up, because the first I saw of it was this morning. I said, this motherfucker, he said, oh, he's talking about us. They're against women. They're against science. I'm like, what? I lost my shit.
Yeah, well, that's like Marjorie Taylor gangrene cue ball saying, trust the science, as I pointed out last week. Trust the science on her stupid little sign outside her office is in quotes, which means she doesn't trust the science. She's not leaning on science. She's not relying on science. She just hates little trans kids. That's all. Oh, and Mirabile Dictu, it turns out that she has now been Marjorie Taylor gangrene cucumber, has been ditched and disavowed and thrown under the bus by CrossFit. Because she's been out there saying, oh, I just love CrossFit. I just love CrossFit. CrossFit's wonderful. Well, there's a statement out by CrossFit spokesman Andrew Weinstein, speaking to BuzzFeed, said, CrossFit supports respectful, fact-based political dialogue to address our common challenges, and we strongly oppose the loathsome and dangerous lies attributed to Ms. Green.
Good for them.
When BuzzFeed asked her office for a comment, her spokescreep, some neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of Nick Dyer, said, what's wrong with you? Seriously, do you not have anything better to do? Yeah, I mean, just for the sake of pointing it out, the woman who said there are Jewish space lasers said trust the science. There's a reason it was in scare quotes.
Okay, that's the other part, not the other, another part of our issue that we have to deal with is that we have people in our government now who are unqualified. They don't believe in America. They say they do. They're like these evangelicals. They claim to believe in Jesus, yet their actions, you know, say otherwise. what they want is what they want at any cost. They're Machiavellian. By any means necessary, the ends justify the means, and that's it.
Just like Joe Manchin, it's purely transactional.
Oh, you had that pegged. Oh, you've been saying that all along. He has muscled his way into being the power player he always wanted to be.
By the way, Arnold said the CPAC stage was probably they probably cut it out with a they cut out the design with a Jewish space laser. And it was probably designed by some Hitler youth. Jewish space laser. I didn't know it was a cutting laser. Well, yeah, I mean, it starts fires. Hell yeah.
They had to keep it in, keep it moving so they, it doesn't get out of calibration. You have to use it once in a while. So these people, how do you prevent this? This is us. This is America. They voted for her. They still would vote for her. They still want to vote for Trump. They don't understand. They believe all this bullshit.
Exactly.
I don't even know how you can reason with these folks anymore. There's nothing left. It's like talking to a pile of ashes. There's nothing there but acid. Let it rain and get some sulfuric acid out of it, and that's it.
Talk to the tree. Talk to a tree. Talk to a chair. So, Clint Eastwood sang a song called I Talk to the Trees, and then he went, all those years ago, went to the convention and talked to a chair. Chairs, trees, same thing, talking to Republicans.
And what's funny? All the things that they wanted Trump to do, Biden's done already. He's quietly moving forward, taking care of business. And they're talking about this bullshit with the XL pipeline losing 10,000 jobs that are not permanent anyway. And it's not even about the jobs. 10,000 jobs, so what? It's about fouling our water. Those pipes burst. Every single one of those pipes burst, and they don't want to even spend the money for the proper maintenance and oversight. And they can't even get to half of these places when the pipes break. But I'm speaking to the choir. We all know this. I'm at a loss, man. I don't know what we're supposed to do. But we have to be happy. We have to make use of this time when we have it. And that's the good part. That we can get some shit done quickly. We have a year to do it. We have a year to try to move forward, I think.
Yeah. We got 9 months to get shit done now. Okay, 10 if you count the whole month of March. That's a hell of a thing.
It is. Now that we have, we've got the federal upper echelons covered, we have to really, really focus on our state houses. Because remember, that's where the Electoral College comes from. These folks come from the state legislatures, a lot of them, and they're,
well,
that's
the bench, Todd. The state legislatures are the bench, and when 29 state legislatures are controlled by Republicans, that means it's going to be hard for Democrats to build and maintain their bench.
That's what we have been neglecting all these years. A lot of people get focused on this federal stuff, but that's why it's important to vote locally. Get people in, even if you're a county commissioner, are they good? They make them move forward, groom them. Because these state houses, they have a lot of power. By design, states have rights. They control the voting,
by analogy, One A and Double A baseball can be really great baseball to watch. You don't have to go to the majors.
Mm. Yep. We have to really so we're in there. Biden is doing. Look, like we were saying before, the fleet, a whole fleet of vehicles now is going to be green. An important fleet of vehicles. Those are jobs.
Or as we say here, Jobs.
Jobs. You know, but, wow. I just, and the only thing, one other thing, I think we really got to press this, speaking of potholes, we need to get this infrastructure going while interest rates, they've been at zero or less for years now. Because, I mean, obviously you can't get any cheaper than 0%. Yeah.
They're practically if you got the right credit, they're paying you to take the money almost.
They're paying you to take the money. It's the government. They got the best credit, you know, in history. You know, in other words, there's good debt and bad debt. Invest in your education. That's your future. That's good debt. You know, you want that chair because it looks good and might give you a massage. That's bad debt. That's some shit you want. You don't need that. That's what you want. You know, you live in the South, you must have a vehicle. You got to have a car because there's no bus, subway, L. And by the way, all L's are subways, but all subways are not L's.
Okay, I'm probably going to be pondering that one for a while.
Well, it's real simple. When you get downtown, everything's underground. And everything goes downtown. So L's begin as subways until you get to the outer reaches and they go up over the street. But all subways do not. And it's probably one of the reasons the newfangled systems like BART, MARTA, take your pick. That's why they have one name, because then you avoid the semantics. But but people who grew up in the city understand that. You know, that's beside the point. But we have to keep pushing. We can't give up now, you know. Because these folks are just fucking crazy. I mean, they're literally insane. And with this golden calf, what in the fuck is that?
I'll tell you this much. Chris in Germany said, no, from Friday on the front porch, Chris in Germany said, no, it's not a sarcophagus. It's a reliquary. Oh, jeez. Yes.
It's a $10 word.
Well, yes, it is. We use those around here. Proudly.
Well, that's the beauty of this program. One of the beauties, you know. I just can't understand this shit. What are these people fighting for? I mean, they just have to get over it. You know, the world is changing. If we didn't, life has changed. If your soul didn't buy, you wouldn't live. You can't grow. You can't do shit. You know, they need to just grow up and you know, I'm sorry they feel uncomfortable. That's their issue. They need to work to do things where they don't feel uncomfortable, because the world is not going to stop for them. And this equivalency, that's not the right word. They're trying to, you know, make what happened, what they perceive that Black Lives Matter did during the summer, what they perceive, it is okay what they did, because Black Lives Matter burned down cities. So it wasn't that bad that the Capitol got stormed. Because, and you listen to these people, they'll say, what did you expect them to do? They had no choice. What else were they going to do? They're saving America.
And believe that with all their hearts, even though the believing of it requires them to prove themselves as fucking idiots. I mean, am I wrong?
No. I mean, Washington Journal is really, it will scare the hell out of you. These folks have lost their fucking minds.
How bad was it this morning in the wake of CPAC? Were they all bummed out that Nitwit Nero didn't declare his candidacy?
Oh, they said, I can't wait to vote for him again. I wish he would run again. And them Democrats, they just vote lockstep. And I'm thinking, interesting. That's exactly what you do. You don't know shit about Democrats if you say we vote lockstep. You know,
yeah, that's a big negatory rubber duck.
Right. Because we are the three free thinkers. We disagree because we think. They just follow. That's why they call it.
And speaking of not thinking, do you think it ever dawns on them that there might be a reason he didn't declare his candidacy last night?
Well, no, they can't think that far forward. They don't even understand this is a scam. He's going to raise money again.
Right. As long as he's not a declared candidate, he can just get them to give him money for the fuck of it. No reporting requirements, no Federal Election Commission. Pretty soon he's going to put up a sign, a great big flashing neon sign at Mar-a-Lago that just says, "This way to the egress."
Put your wallet here.
Place wallet here. Wait a minute. That was good. That was real good. By the way, I'm the setup girl. Clarence has a note for you. Tell Todd 69th Street is waiting for him to return, LOL. Subject line was the L.
Yo, that's upper Darby, man. That's the end of the blue line, the L, the Market Frankford L. And see, so you get to leave Center City. And that's a fun ride, man. You ride all the way from 69th Street, which is far west Philadelphia, right? As far as it goes, right to the line, city line. And you can ride that all the way downtown, like straight down Market Street, 52nd and Market. And then, of course, it goes underground downtown. And then it comes back up and goes up through Kensington, all the way up to, Margaret Orthodox. That's not the last stop. That's the last stop. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but... It's a nice ride, especially if you get in the front car and you see the tracks, man. There's nothing like it. And it's interesting. If you got, some time, if you like trains, trains are fun. But, it's a good way to get around. And I believe in public transportation, man. It's important.
Yeah, and that's part of the... conversation I heard over the weekend, talking about electric vehicles. It's great. Oddly enough, while I was down in the settlements for provisions earlier today, I was pulled up at that washed out intersection behind a Tesla. Mm-hmm. And man, I used to want a Tesla so bad. Oh, I wanted a Tesla. Now I'm not so sure. Yeah, the bloom is definitely off the Elon Musk rose for me. I'd just as soon get something from a different car company, that's, what I mean.
I'm so happy with the Toyo. And, I had to think long and hard, but I was like, they've been doing this for 20 years.
They're good at it.
And it's nice, man. It's leather all around and everything, it's the top of the line one and it's a full size car. And, shoot, man, that $10 worth of gas, man, it should get the cobwebs on. It's just the way, it's a nice in-between. It's a wonderful in-between. And it's got the giddy up, man. I was on the interstate yesterday, man. I was fucking, that's the way it goes. It goes,
is that how it goes?
It does. And see, that's the other part, man. It's 0 to 30, man. It's 2 seconds. I kind of mostly keep it in sport because it keeps the batteries charged up. So, and this model, the battery pack is underneath the rear seat. So, that the weight distribution is just right, man. It's nice. It's nice. I'm very pleased. Yeah. So, like you're saying, Tesla used to be the shit, but, they waited. He should have just come out with that pickup truck earlier. They look nice, but they're all new cars look nice now.
Oh, hell yeah.
In a way. I don't know that we're qualified to vote at the federal level any longer. Once again, I it's getting worse. Somebody has to convince me.
We're capable.
Well, yeah, but we can't. think we can't have, like, okay, you got to fill out this form and we need a writing sample. And, you know, you can't do that.
I mean, you want to see proof of the effectiveness of the organizing skills of, say, a Stacey Abrams? ABC News headline, Georgia House passes GOP bill rolling back voting access. After the bill comes after record turnout led to Democratic wins in Georgia's presidential election and two U.S. Senate runoffs. Well, that's the last time that shit's going to happen. House Bill 531 passed 97-72. It goes to the state Senate of Georgia now. And ABC News reports the far-reaching bill would require a photo ID for absentee voting, limit the amount of time voters have to request an absentee ballot, restrict where ballot drop boxes could be located, like nowhere, and when they could be accessed, never, and limit early voting hours on weekends, among many, you know, when people don't have to necessarily be at work, you know, weekends. And there's an entire tsunami of this disenfranchising filth going on in Republican legislatures all across the country because they had that road to Damascus moment, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
They woke up on November the 4th and went, shit, we're fucked if people keep voting.
Lindsey Graham almost said it out loud.
Yeah, he did.
They know it. They can't, in a fair game, they cannot win. And they know that. See, we're dealing with a boisterous minority here. Boisterous, dangerous, proven to be dangerous minority.
Precisely.
And I'm, you know, it's nothing personal. I mean, these are friends and relatives that folks have. But, you know, they need to be contrite and atone. They need to say out loud, if those were black people, they would have been shot dead.
I mean, how else is there any other read on that? Because I haven't found it. If there is,
no, and see, that's a perfect beginning. Not perfect, but I think that's a good beginning because that will break the ice. It does a lot of things. See, they have to come to terms with their nonsense. They're bullshittery. Because they're embracing shit that just doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So, I, anyway, I'm glad everything's going well, Robin, and you'll be on the grill soon, and we're looking forward to fajitas.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Have you, somebody gave me a subscription to Bespoke Post, and
no.
most months I, you know, turn it down. But way back when it was the, trying to think. I think it was that wonderful walk that was a gift. And I noticed that, like, next month they've got an awesome fajita kit.
Oh.
You know, with the little round iron skillet that you put the sizzling fajita stuff on. And you,
just
you
like know, in a restaurant.
Yeah. That kind of looked interesting.
And you can use this for different things. That multi-purpose, you know, it didn't have to be for the fajita.
Oh, but right. But I mean, you stick that thing in the acorn at about 500 degrees, and then you take all your fajita goodies off of the griddle and put it on that thing. You know, you pull it a little early before it's all the way done, and put it on there and just.
I can smell it.
But I'm getting stoked for cooking season. I'm well and truly stoked.
Well,
I've been thinking about the stuffed jalapenos, and I've been thinking about, you know, crab cakes on the griddle. Ooh, and like I said the other night, if we can all get our distemper shots, I've got this invitation. I've got this invitation to cook at one of the little local establishments, you know, just on a weekend.
And, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally psyched. Do up some
bread. What, sandwich place?
No. It's just a little pub.
And so they invite people to come in and cook from other restaurants and people who are just good cooks. And sell, you know, sell food on, you know, like Friday or Friday night or Saturday night or what, Saturday night for me.
It must be in Fayetteville.
Yeah, it is. And I'm just totally, totally excited about that. By the way, Earther said, oh, great, thanks, Todd. Now I have to return my 10 Italian leather massage chairs. Thanks for the sour financial persimmons, brother.
I'm sorry.
Oh, and what... Yeah, and what you said earlier about them saying out loud they don't want people to vote, Flavio was kind enough to go and pull up the clip, and I've got it right here. Yeah, Paul Weyrich. They said so. They don't want people to vote. They said so explicitly. The founding father of the conservative movement.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Can't put any plainer than that, can you?
Damn, he sounds like a planter.
That was 1980. That was the year that Reagan was swept into office.
Mm-hmm.
On a raft of dirty tricks and filthy games played with the lives of hostages.
No, you can't talk about that. Ronald Reagan was the savior of our country. You're not allowed to say that type of thing, I don't think. Are you?
I think so. Meanwhile, Randy Radar is working on a lyric. You know, it's kind of, the tune is from a musical. It's from The Sound of Music. And for some reason or another, it always winds up being a Christmas song. It's not a Christmas song, but a few of my favorite things. Randy Radar says, Trump in the White House and beds that he lied in. Elon Musk's South American schemes. These are a few of conservatives' dreams. When the dogs bite, Black Lives Matter. Right.
You know what's funny? I'm telling you, we are all connected.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are all. I'm telling you, there is a Faraday-like cage because we all work on electrical impulses. That's how we work. And there's something to that. For instance, PBS has been running the jazz documentary again, and it's wonderful. It really is. And, you know, I started thinking about Coltrane again. And that's one of his famous songs is My Favorite Things. They didn't use it. At least they hadn't gotten to that part yet. Because some people don't get it. Like, some people don't understand jazz because they just don't get it. They didn't have jazz appreciation.
I'm down with most jazz. It's the part that sounds like it's the jazz that sounds like the Family Silver being dumped on a concrete sidewalk that I just don't get.
Those are the flatted fists. They're playing in between the notes. It's like you can go off and riff in between where space would be.
I mean, one of my favorite exemplars of this is let me see.
Is it Parker? Is it Bird?
No, it's not. It's not Bird. This is actually a clip from one of my favorite jazz albums, the first Circle by Pat Metheny. It's 1984.
But, oh, Pat Metheny, yes.
But the first track on that album is called Forward March, and I love every track on that album. I always start with cut two because I just don't get this. Here, just so we can illustrate the conversation.
Okay.
This is for educational purposes, not entertainment. Here it comes.
I mean, there's at least a melody there.
Okay. I get that. See, that's, well, I've used a lot of John Candy. But see, what that is, if you the beat, if you notice, that's like a marching band fascist beat. That's the background, right? So you have that on one side. Then you have the chaos. Those are people speaking out.
Damn, Todd, that's good.
You think about it that way and listen to it again.
No, that makes sense.
See? Right. And they're screaming. And it's in there. They're like, ah, we free us. Dun, 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 dun. No, free us. See, jazz musicians speak with their instruments. Just like you speak with the cowbell.
Just like I speak with the cowbell. I knew you were going there.
You need to be giving cowbell class, damn it, you fucker. What are you doing, slow roll, man? Oh, it killed. This is like, damn. Oh.
Yeah, that's when the llama gets wore plumb out. She's, you know, she's got that bell around her neck and just can't hardly move no more. Just devastated.
Oh boy. Yeah, I'm glad that you were able to illustrate that. Yeah. You know, and speaking of jazz, I just got like Monk. Monk is a fucking genius. He was.
Oh, Thelonious Monk, please, yes.
It's just sometimes, man, there's nothing like some good jazz. And you know, swing music is good. It's all good. You know, just music. Good music is good music. Anybody knows that. You don't even have to speak the same language as someone else, but people recognize good music.
It's kind of, food, music, you know, sometimes you just need something. And that happened over the weekend. My dear friend who had the Thai restaurant, she cooks by request now, made me another quart of tom yum soup. It's just the day was so right for it. And she always, I don't even have to tell her anymore. She always makes it for me Thai hot so that you get the little sweet sweat beads under your eyes and along your hairline. And it's just hot. And every now and then when you're feeling adventurous, you tie into one of those evil little chilies and just let it roll around your mouth and get the whole fire going. Just let it become fully involved.
You know, someone has my Thai chili bush. I honest to God, I went to Chinatown and got these fresh Thai hot chili peppers, and I saved the seeds because they were so robust. I said, these fuckers are going to grow. And I planted it in a pot, and I put it in the backyard. I mean, that sucker took off.
And somebody boosted it?
They didn't chop it. Huh?
They boosted it?
Well, I don't know. I'm gone. I'm just hope somebody is appreciated because it grows like a little tree. It's a fucking tree. I mean, it literally, it's a little tree.
If you take care of a chili pepper plant, it doesn't die off at the end of the season like a tomato vine.
Mm-mm.
And that's like those wicked little tapines. If I could ever get the little bastards to grow here and pot it, I would buy me a grow light and, you know, set it out in the summer sun and everything, bring it in the winter. Because that thing can get, I've seen them that are like 6 feet tall by 3 feet wide.
Oh, man, beautiful.
I knew a guy who would decorate his every year for Christmas. And it was beautiful because it had all those little red and green tapines on it, and they're not much bigger than a BB.
Ooh, they're hot.
Oh no, we were bad. Every now and then I'd just wander over and pluck one and just put it in my mouth and chew and burn and burn. But it was such a good, happy burn. Courtesy of Jeremy, stop telling us what an amazing cook you are. This is Head On with Robin Kincaid, not Cooking with Robin Kincaid. Damn it, now I'm hungry. I never said I'm amazing. By the way, since we are at the top, we've moved into the third hour of the program, I should probably update fundraising. We got $240 to go. 24 people at 10 or 10 at 24, and we will have met and thereby doubled
the $300 raised courtesy of Laborman and Chris in Germany and Ralphs. So that's hugely important to do to get a brand new month started. I can't say how, I can't express how important that is. So that's where it is. And also, anybody that wants to jump in on the crowdfunding, GoFundMe, use GoFund Bob. It'll take you right to it. It's easier than trying to find it on GoFundMe.
Well, this is a good time.
For the first time. Yeah, we're really, really close. We're really close to the halfway mark of the surgery fundraiser, which is tremendous. And I just have to get this done, and no amount of health insurance is going to cover it. And anybody who kicks in $120 or more, of course, the heavy-duty 15-ounce horn coffee mug, which, if you wish, I will sign on the bottom in Sharpie, and hopefully it won't come off in the dishwasher. It's dishwasher safe. And it was provided to us specifically to use for these purposes. Everybody gets one of those that kicks in $120 or more, so there's that. But I'm sorry to break the conversation for that, but just, you know, with 50 minutes to go and 240. Yeah.
Right. No, that's beautiful. And you know, when the challenge is on, that's a good time for folks who've never maybe contributed or curious.
Yeah. Make it work.
Make it work, you know, because, you know, your program is informative, it's entertaining, it's America, you know, it's America. Well, you know, I just hope we can continue to stay positive and I don't know about this mansion guy, man. He's trying to fat. He's trying to run for president now, because he's got ambitions.
Oh, I think there's a lot of ambition. No doubt about it.
And on the other side, we got this cast of characters like Tom Cotton. And, these fuckers are shameless, man. The Capitol, this is the other thing. When was the last time you remember? And none of us do, just factually. The Capitol being stormed. And just since we're running out of time, 1812. I'll just make it easy.
Yeah. Those Canadians burned it to the ground.
To the ground. All right, so that's one benchmark. And then on top of that, let's say, well, when's the last time the Capitol got stormed and was in threat of being blown up within less than 3 months?
Yeah, never.
The correct answer is never.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was guessing at the never part, but I felt pretty confident about it.
Yeah, I had to think about it because it's such an absolute, you know. But yeah, never. But what's the common denominator?
Insurrection?
Trump.
Trump. Sure. Yeah.
The fucker's caustic. He's got to go, man. This is ridiculous. He really needs to be like you still. Stochastic. Is that right? Stochastic? No.
Stochastic terrorism, yeah.
Stochastic terrorism.
I mean, he all but called the maggots out to go after Ben Sasse and Liz Cheney and some of the Susan Collins. Yeah.
These people will never be happy, but yeah, he needs to be silent. So he's a danger, and I really hope that this investigation keeps moving forward, the federal investigation into these insurrectionists, because I want the folks who work for us, the lawmakers, to get those folks tours, and I bet you that Marjorie woman is going to be one of them.
Oh, and probably Lauren Bobblehead Boebert.
Oh yeah, oh, handgun in her pants. Yup. Yep. So, you know, I'm trying to stay positive. We can get some things done here. And I'm going to like it. You know, It's so much. But anyway, you're doing a great job as usual. And I want to shout out to my brother Steve and everybody else. I don't leave anybody else out. And Jude, I don't know why, but Jude's been on my mind lately.
Well, she thinks the world of you.
Well, I do too, except for her. And, you know, it's a nice group. You know, it's a nice group. So I'm gonna sign off and let you continue on with your professional program.
Or as our buddy Dan Fisher says, the entirely adequate program. Yes.
That's funny.
Which it is, absolutely. Well, I got good news. In the time we've been talking, an anonymous friend has taken us down to $200 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. So, we got 45 minutes to bring in 10 people with $20 or 20 people with $10 or somebody with 200 or two people with 100, whatever. I just really, really want, I love this challenge. It gets us off to a decent start. It's so important. And, if we can bring that in, it will be fan-freaking-tastic. And thanks for the encouragement, Todd. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's true.
You got a note from Darlene.
Oh.
There is some good news, though, in that it seems the vast majority of the American people did not condone the January 6th insurrection. In Connecticut, over 6,500 registered Republicans have left their party since the election, 5,200 plus in the 6 weeks after the January 6th insurrection alone. Most became unaffiliated, 11% became independents, less than one-fifth switched to the Democratic Party, and one Republican jumped to the Green Party, LOL. Check that one's calendar. You went from the GOP to the Greens? What? Huh? Yeah. I'd love to see other stats like this in other I'd love to see the stats like this in other states. Hi, Todd, says Darlene.
Hi, I was about to say the same thing. Hi, Darlene. But, you know, there's a direct correlation between these maggots in certain states. In other words, the literacy rate of the state and the magnitude of maggots. And I have a real problem with illiteracy and low literacy because it bleeds into general society. Like, it's not just, okay, I don't like to read, and so fuck it. But we don't live in a bubble. These fuckers are out and about. And it's dangerous to have these ignorant people walking around. You know, and this is what happens. That shit at the Capitol.
Right, and you never know what the triggering, I hate to say triggering, but what the event will be. I misreported something. Haley has offered me, sent me a correction. The school shooting today in Arkansas, the student who...
Sorry.
There was a school shooting today. A student shot another student. It was reported that the student had died. But that is not, in fact, the case. Apparently, the child, mercifully, is still alive. But, you know, this is not the time to politicize guns. It's so sick of that shit. Just so sick of it. Because there's never a right time to talk about our sick fascination, our filthy fetish over guns. Never, ever.
Well... You know, at my workplace, we have a whole lot of special guns, and I get to touch them, and you know, not that I'm into, you know, I do it because it's my job, because I'm really not a gun guy. But the people that come in, I mean, it is really, I'm telling you, some of these people would sell their babies to get some of these guns.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
Not at all. And I got a story out of New Orleans. It's damn sickening. A report from NOLA.com. An asshole. Well, no, back up. A black man has been shot and killed in New Orleans. An asshole by the name of John Schallerhorn, 35 years old, tried to gain entry to George Washington Carver High School's gymnasium this past Friday about 6:15 p.m. because there was a basketball playoff game taking place between George Washington Carver High School and Warren Easton High. An employee stopped him because the employee was there to check temperatures and enforce a mask mandate.
And so the 35-year-old mask hole COVIDiot dickhead brawled with the school employee. I ain't gonna wear no mask. And so then a Tulane University police officer and Second City Court deputy constable, who was doing security guard duty, moonlight work that cops often do, as a security guard at the school, tried to break up the altercation. His name was Martinez Mitchum, African-American man, 38 years old, and he was escorting the 35-year-old dickhead off the campus, and he pulled out his freedom protector and blew the cop away. And then he sat his gun on the ground.
Black one.
Mm-hmm. He sat his gun on the ground and just waited for Orleans Parish Sheriff's deputies to come along and arrest him.
Couldn't help himself.
What's more, though, before he decided he wanted to go and take in a high school basketball game.
Wait a minute. You said what's more? It's more.
Because this is, I guess this is what you do. I mean, so he'd knocked over a medallion chain at gunpoint. I guess that's a convenience store or something that need a little help from the Louisiana contingent here. He robbed a medallion chain at gunpoint. Oh, I get it. Okay, he pulled a gun on somebody in the parking lot. It's not a convenience store chain. I'm just having a hard time comprehending English right now. He robbed a dude of his medallion chain necklace. Pulled his gun on him. Guy was sitting in a parked car. Give me the necklace. And then he went to the basketball game and murdered an African-American cop. Do we have a pretty good idea how this motherfucker votes?
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible to be wrong, but I'm saying the chances of being wrong are really pretty low.
I'm like playing the video in my mind that I don't know of, but my imagination's running wild with all the data points that you presented. So I'm seeing a grief white guy. A lot of white people in this country, they just had enough of black, right? They had a black president.
I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that the guy's white. It could be he was black. I don't know. They don't tell me in the article.
It could, right, and I could be totally off base, but I mean, there's one way to look at it. The aggrieved person, who I think he's white, because most black people aren't walking. Most black people will shoot people who they know, or rob them, or owe them some money, or it just doesn't happen like that.
Black guy took some digging. John Schallerhorn, 35, is a black guy.
Okay, so he's black. Okay, so that theory's out the window. Okay, so.
Not entirely impossible that he's still a Trump voter, but looks more like just garden variety asshole.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, no, people are angry, man. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for that. I don't know, Ari Melber was on earlier, and they just in Louisiana that are passing some kind of Blue Lives Matter law, where they're protecting off-duty police. And you know, it's a hard job. It's not the hardest job. But I think they bring a lot of that shit on themselves. If they didn't act like assholes, people would be shooting. And why do they get mad when we stand up for our rights? They keep doubling down. I don't get it. You know, start telling your coworkers, and then maybe we'll calm down. But we stand in the street, and they can fucking forget about that shit. We stand in the street to get this shit correct. And that's the way it is. And it's not me, it's the young people. I mean, people are angry for a reason. You know, it just didn't pop out of nowhere. But
No, but, yeah, I, that, you know, you, you, you'll kill over not wearing a mask?
Would they? Yes. You should see. Well, not you. You know it. I see these people when they go in the. I get my gas at the Walmart chain because you know it's gas. It's the only business I do with them on a regular with that corporation.
You don't have to explain. It's hard to avoid.
Right. That's right. And they come in there and they don't wear. They really get angry. I know. I look at them like you are a fucking scourge. You know, put the goddamn mask on for a few minutes. If you can't do that, don't come in the store. We're almost there. We're almost there. But you are the fuckers who are going to drag us down. And that was, and I'm going to get off the phone, but that was funny you brought that up like that. Because, you know, I fear that we're in between. This is the law. It's getting warm out now. People are getting complacent. Everyone hasn't been vaccinated. And a lot of people have no intention of being vaccinated. And see these mutations, which leads to variants, just going to take off. Because when you're weekly vaccinated, when you have a week vaccination and you don't have the follow up, that can make the virus stronger.
Well, yeah, because it gets a further chance to live. Now I'm encouraged by the news of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that it's Johnson & Johnson because way, way, way back when I was a baby, they had an advertising campaign. Is your baby a Johnson baby? Just funny on multiple levels, if you think about it.
I thought you were going to say, does your baby have a Johnson?
Okay. You want to hear the llama speak? But for, you know, when I was tiny, my parents referred to me as the Johnson baby. And so now we've got a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and, well, I'm eager. But the neat thing about that is its effectiveness rate generally is 72%, but it is 100% effective at preventing serious cases of the disease and death.
Well, see, that's great. That's beautiful.
So I take that to mean, from a statistical standpoint, that during the trials, people who had the vaccine but got the Rona, none of them died.
Great.
Which is huge. I ran into a guy over the weekend. He said, "Oh yeah, I had it back in October." I said, "Really? What was it like?" He said, "I've had worse hangovers."
Huh.
We don't need to be saying things like that out there. I mean, I'm glad he had a mild case. Some people do have mild cases. But there's a 500,000 dead Americans, plus. But one of the things that's exciting is that with the first shipment of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the Biden administration will have lived up to its promise, and we will have 100 million vaccines in 100 days. Now, it's going to be another 40 days, I think, before the next round of Johnson & Johnson vaccines is ready. And I guess they've got some sort of lock on producing it. I honestly don't understand. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I am. You know, are we giving proprietary rights to all these companies, or are they farming out production to other facilities? Because I was halfway being facetious last week when I suggested that, you know, if you really want Joe Manchin to cooperate, you need to give Mylan Pharmaceuticals about a $2 billion contract to produce the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing what will happen then. And by the way, we're down to 190 to go to finish the challenge. We got about 30 minutes to get there. Jeremy jumped back in and said, "I'm down for a bit. Your power's got my sled good Saturday, Robin, it's good for parts." Yeah, Jeremy noted that there was not going to be a huge repair bill, so I'm happy to help wherever I can, Jeremy. And that's wonderful to be down to only 190. 19 brand new $10 subscriptions. Wouldn't that just be awesome?
You're going to be over.
Or just 19 people at $10. Either way's fine.
Mm-hmm. you're going to be over. It'll be, you'll meet your goal tonight.
I sure hope so. I do. I really, really do.
You are. The vaccines, we have to stay on this. Now, I know some people have had bad reactions, but,
Yeah, and I was wrong when I reported last week that Chris in Germany said, I reported her third day was the worst for her second shot. She corrected me and said that it was, in fact, the second day that just kicked her ass.
Now, see, the one closest to me, they had the second day bad reaction. And I have a coworker, they had the first day bad reaction. This disease is just, it's new. It's new, and we just don't, there's a lot we don't know yet. You know, what we do know is that it's no good, and we have to do what we can to mitigate this. And I just can't get over the fact that these people are arguing about fucking masks. In 1918, they figured that shit out without electron microscopes.
I know.
How do you explain this shit to people?
That's the million-dollar question, Todd. It bedevils me every day. How do you get and there? I read an article talking about getting the vaccine into the African American community. And there are a lot of people in the African-American community who are justifiably nervous about it because of the awful shit that's been done to them under the guise of medicine in the past. And it's hard to forget that. There's got to be some sort of meaningful outreach that can't be some pasty-faced old white dude or white woman saying, y'all need to get your vaccines. And that's my Richard Pryor white person voice. Oh, you need your vaccines. No, I mean, I don't know who it is. I mean, I guess he's maybe got a little time on his hands since the divorce is going through. Maybe it's Yeezy. Get your vaccine now.
Now we have all these. Now it's kind of messed up because it really is playing into that meme in that we have different types of vaccines with different efficacy rates. And people understand numbers. And even if you can halfway read, you can understand numbers. So, in the black community, not community, community, people get vaccinated. They get the shit that fell off the truck and sat in the sun. And then they say, well, it's better than nothing. It's not a vaccination, but it's almost as good. You've been vaccinated.
Vaccinated, yep.
Right. See, and so that's going to play into that. But I mean, what's the count? I mean, you may as well. What the fuck? The milk said, what do you have to lose?
Yeah, and I got a note from someone who will remain anonymous, who says one of the places I clean is full of at least 100,000 heirs, and quite a few millionaires. Last week, two of them tested positive for COVID. And there haven't been many in the office at all for a year. This shit is still real gang.
Damn. No, see, that's a good point. You can look at the wealthy folks. The people who make money, we all watch television. People are still working from home if they can. They're working from home if they can. Like why can't it? Like, the wealthy people in this little town that has a bunch of banks, like one of which originates here, that serves the whole Southeast, and it's centered here in a town of less than 10,000. That's how much money is in this fucking town.
Woo! And the polo field. Don't forget the polo
field. And the polo field, right. So, you got to be cognizant of that. There's a lot that's going on.
And, there's nothing like being filthy rich to think that it makes you untouchable to the virus.
Well, they're having their groceries delivered. That's the big thing now. They don't leave the house to do anything. Some of them do because they don't care. But most of them, they're.
But apparently there are fuck-ups in the delivery system. I saw a photo on our buddy Dr. John's feed the other day. Yes. It was a photo of a bag of Ore-Ida tater tots. Mini tots, actually. Mm-hmm. Mini tots. It's a tater tot to begin with. I mean, how can it be a mini? I mean, at that point in time, it's
That's what I was going to ask you. It's already mini.
The question he asked was, and what sort of sauce should I put over this lovely pasta? Because because he had ordered pasta and got tater tots.
That's a major fuck up. Sorry. I don't know. I've been having my food delivered. I want to look what I'm buying. I want to get my food. This is what I want. Or this is what somebody else wants. Because I have to cook. You know, we're cook people. We need to look at our shit, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, those and those $1.99 flat iron steaks, I went back the next day. They were gone, baby. Gone. $1.99 flat iron steaks are not going to last. Because I was gonna fill a damn freezer. I was.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's the way the pork loins are. When they go on sale, man, I buy them up. Because I wait. And you got to wait. You got to get in the supermarket at just the right time.
See, that's one of the things I was thinking with this later on cooking for that, you know, like maybe on a Saturday night at the little pub. I was thinking of doing some of those tri-fold pork loins.
Yes. You'll be a star, man. You'll be a star.
Yeah, do one stuffed with, like, dried cherries. And what was the one we were talking about the other day? Oh, well, never mind, but yeah.
Yeah. See? I'm telling you, man. The food. That's our one. And you know what's funny? These maggots, they don't like good food. There's something weird about that. That's a constant I've noticed. They don't like good food. They like shitty food.
Well, the things that they think are good food, you know, when the maggots are talking good food, it's just like you know, Donald Trump is the maggot idea of what a rich man looks like. And Donald Trump is what a smart person looks like to a stupid person. Same with food. Hey, look, I got some shrimps. Hoo-wee. You know.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, man, thanks for...
Hey, have a great evening. I'm glad you called in. These are always fantastic conversations, just always.
Well, we all appreciate it, and thanks for all the wisdom that you impart on all of us, and thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it, Todd. You have a good night, my friend. Take care.
Bye now.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. I've got a clip. Where did it go? No. I guess I'm going to have to find it again. I've got a fantastic clip here that Sparky sent along. And it was one of those moments where you look at Joe Biden and say, well, you know, keeping his promises. There is nowhere in America that hates unions more than Alabama does. Don't need no unions. We got the free market. When it's really just the same old filthy plantation mentality with a veneer of Harvard Business School horseshit layered on. But down in Alabama, workers at Amazon, there's a huge Amazon warehouse that has gone in, I think, down around Mobile somewhere. I could be wrong. But last night, he put out a video that is undeniably one of the strongest pro-labor statements made by an American president in recent memory. And the fact that he did it with regard to a union organizing effort in Alabama is huge. And thus,
I have long said America wasn't built by Wall Street. It was built by the middle class, and unions built the middle class. Unions put power in the hands of workers. They level the playing field. They give you a stronger voice. for your health, your safety, higher wages, protections from racial discrimination and sexual harassment. Unions lift up workers, both union and non-union, and especially black and brown workers. I've made it clear, when I was running, that my administration's policy would be to support unions organizing and the right to collectively bargain. I'm keeping that promise. You should all remember, the National Labor Relations Act didn't just say that unions are allowed to exist. It said that we should encourage unions. So let me be really clear. It's not up to me to decide whether anyone should join a union. But let me be even more clear. It's not up to an employer to decide that either. The choice to join a union is up to the workers. Full stop. Full stop. Today and over the next few days and weeks, workers in Alabama and all across America are voting on whether to organize a union in their workplace. This is vitally important, a vitally important choice as America grapples with the deadly pandemic, the economic crisis, and the reckoning on race, what it reveals, the deep disparities that still exist in our country. And there should be no intimidation, no coercion, no threats, no anti-union propaganda. No supervisors should confront employees about their union preferences. You know, every worker should have a free and fair choice to join a union. The law guarantees that choice. And it's your right, not that of an employer. It's your right. No employer can take that right away. So make your voice heard. God bless you all, and may God protect the workers and their families who are trying to figure out how to make it fairly. Thank you.
That's pretty strong stuff. I'm so old, I remember when, I think maybe it was then candidate Obama said, well, you know, if somebody's on strike, I'll put my comfortable walking shoes on and go walk the picket line with them. Didn't happen. Well, we're in a pandemic, so there's not going to be any picket lines walked by the sitting president of the United States. But like I said, that was the strongest, most profound statement. And every bit of it was factually accurate. We cannot overstate that. It was entirely factually accurate. Because, of course, I'm sure there's all kinds of anti-union disinformation being spread in that Amazon facility. And God knows, hundreds, if not thousands, of other facilities. That place needs to be unionized. They need to unionize the one place that needs to be organized more than any other in this country is Walmart. What a change that would be. And frankly, you organize workplaces, and the discussion about a $15 minimum wage kind of goes away. The best and easiest way to reach a $15 minimum wage is to organize this country. No, everybody's not going to start out at 15 bucks, but there's a lot better hope for a better standard of living when people belong to unions. And that's a gospel that people like Boss Man Wayne have been preaching for ages now. You know, unions who brought you the weekend. Unions who brought you the 40-hour working week. Unions who brought dignity to a workplace. Unions who helped put paid to the idea of sweatshops. And President Biden's absolutely right. It's not just that they should be allowed to exist. It is that they should be encouraged. Because when we have the highest level of union membership also coincided with the longest sustained period of economic growth and middle class prosperity and people rising up into the middle class that this country's ever known. naturally, Republicans despise unions. And I suppose it's no surprise that they do. Because the only thing that a union negatively affects is the boss's ability to intimidate and roll over working people and destroy their lives. But the idiots you have always with you. Now, let's take, for instance, now this isn't labor, but at least nobody got murdered. There was a mask whole COVIDiot demonstration in Santa Cruz, California, at a Trader Joe's. Because Trader Joe's is actually following the law and they're enforcing it. All those other little pissant operations, oh, we can't make nobody wear no mask. Yes, you can. And Trader Joe's is apparently fresh out of fucks to give in the middle of a pandemic. And so at the Mercury News, they gathered, the mask whole COVIDiots did, outside of Trader Joe's and hollered about how they wanted to be let in. But Trader Joe's was having none of it. And as the Mercury News reported, they were quickly thwarted, the mask whole COVIDiots were, because a line of Trader Joe's employees formed at the front of the store and would not let them in. I didn't know we had one of these. I didn't know it until I read the article. But we recently had a National Maskless Day. Fucking assholes. And the COVIDiots, who call, they're COVID truthers, who got behind this stupidity, walk into a Nazi store without a mask and share pictures and videos. Yeah, this Trader Joe's isn't, according to these toxic plague rats, this Trader Joe's is a Nazi store. Because having to wear a mask is just like being forced to be crammed into a cattle car and driven to a death camp and murdered by fascists. It's the same thing, right? Jesus. It just goes on and on and on. We started the program talking about the CPAC nonsense and their little Nazi stage. The Hyatt chain has been hit with a nasty, I think it was called, the hashtag was Buy Hyatt or Bye Bye Hyatt, because they hosted this super spreader event in Florida. And then Hyatt got wind of the stage design. And yesterday, Hyatt put out a statement, the Hyatt hotel chain. We take the concern raised about the prospect of symbols of hate being included in the stage design of at CPAC 2021 very seriously, as all such symbols are abhorrent and unequivocally counter to our values as a company. Well, that didn't sit well with the precious little snowflakes of CPAC. Yeah. The American Conservative Union, which runs that little that filthy little plague cesspit, said, contrary to Hyatt's own mission statement of inclusivity, your company just attacked its own customer by caving into the pressures of the politically motivated social media agitators who seek to destroy CPAC, our attendees and speakers from across the country, and the millions of Americans who support our work. Hyatt made a decision to issue additional statements late last night after the conference ended that disparaged and defamed us. These statements appear to validate demonstrably false and malicious claims. Only they're not false and they're not malicious. They're just truth.
And they wrote a whole letter. Somebody typed it for them. We will not let them this is our letter to Hyatt Hotels. It's our declaration that we will not let them cancel us with these here lies. You know what's not in the letter? I mean, there's a claim of an orchestrated assault on them. We collaborated with your team on logistics, including sharing, reviewing, and approving the stage design that was created by one of our subcontractors. I had no idea that the American Nazi Party was a subcontractor to CPAC, although it doesn't surprise me. But we got Jewish board members, and we got Jewish staff, and we got Jewish speakers, and Jewish attendees. And they're not appalled by our Nazi stage design. They're appalled by the Hyatt leadership for not standing with us as we fight against anti-Semitism. I haven't figured out yet how having a stage design that looks like a Nazi rune is engaging in the battle against anti-Semitism. No. Signed, David H. Safavian, General Counsel. The theme of CPAC 2021 was America Uncancelled. It's tragic and reckless that Hyatt would sue him, you pettifogging asshole. Sue him. That ain't going to happen. Because then you'd get discovery. And then we'd find out who that valued subcontractor was. Yeah. And so, just to wrap things up in our never-ending search for some sort of unified field theory that explains why Joe Manchin is Joe Manchin. And by the way, $190 to go to finish the challenge. That's where we are. Matt in San Francisco asks, I have a sincere question regarding Joe Manchin. I'd really like to understand why he's standing in the way of what 70% of the public wants. I'm starting to lose faith this week. With this minimum wage caved by the Democrats, I'm trying to not be part of the Unicorn Brigade, but Kamala could override the parliamentarian, and once done, it would take 60 votes to override Kamala. So if the Democrats really wanted to do it, the $15 an hour minimum wage, they could. I mean, the Republicans fired the parliamentarian in order to push through the Bush tax cut. Are they not doing this because of Joe and his unwillingness to vote with the Dems? Does it really boil down to just him being racist and making sure that we keep certain people down and desperate? Does he want to hold on to the filibuster simply because he's racist to his core? I really would like to know why, when Democrats take power, they can't seem to deliver for the people the way the Republicans deliver for the corporations. I think you just answered a lot of your own questions, Matt. Joe apparently wants to be reelected in 2024. He knows at this point he will have a significant stay-home factor or third-party Greeniac vote or whatever among the most intense progressives. And so that means he has to build a coalition of mugwump Democrats and Republicans who themselves will not want whatever maniac the GOP puts up in this state. He desperately wants to be seen as an important political force. He's actually worried about history. He wants to be viewed as a great West Virginia politician. And he thinks that somehow cloaking himself with the history of the filibuster puts him in the reflected light of the memory of Robert Byrd. When what Robert Byrd did with the filibuster in 1964, he wound up apologizing for and saying was the greatest political mistake of his entire life. But you have to view Joe's desire to be a remembered political force and held in deep and abiding esteem alongside the fact that he's Atne Ute Aitbrei, if you own a what I mean.
not a lawyer. He's a coal broker. And that means his entire life, and it's not like he came up broke or anything. He didn't eat beans as a kid. He's stinking rich. And all he understands is transactional financial behavior. And so he seems to think that, that by hanging on to outdated racist legislative rules, that he somehow is participating in tradition. Now, as for the $15 minimum wage, I hate to offer such a facile explanation. He's just an asshole. He doesn't think that working people work hard enough to deserve $15 an hour, even though the living wage in West Virginia would be somewhere around $23. Living wage. It's just not worth it. Doesn't matter. I remember when he was questioned about what was then referred to back in 2016 as free college. Of course, it's not free college. It's paid for with tax dollars. But he said, no, if people get to go to college for free, they won't value their educations. And he uses the same argument in regard to health care. Well, if people can just go to the doctor whenever they're sick, or they'll overwhelm our healthcare system by going to the doctor when they could just as well stay home or take an aspirin or something. It's like something he did as governor when he told people that they had to show up dressed in business attire, and they said, we're not getting paid enough to dress like that. And he said, that's what Gabe's is for. Joe doesn't shop at Gabriel Brothers. Joe wouldn't shop at Gabriel Brothers on a damn dare. But he views himself as separate and apart from us, you know, the proles, the little people. He's a horrible elitist with nothing to be elite about. I wish there was a better explanation, but sometimes simple explanations are simple explanations because they just are an accurate explanation for simpleton behavior. And, you know, Kristen Sinema is part of the problem, too. And so there's no sense in sending Kamala Harris in to overrule the parliamentarian if you don't have those basic 50 votes. And they haven't figured out a way to Joe Biden, I guess, hasn't figured out a way to do an LBJ-style treatment. So that when you have them into the Oval Office and you give them the treatment and then you turn them around, pat them on the butt and send them back out, that they know which way to vote. And we've had a problem with exercising that kind of power politics for a very long time. Harry Reid, who now says the filibuster needs to go away, was a notorious non-arm twister as majority leader when he led the Democrats in the Senate. He would not bring a senator in and slap them around till they were hot and angry and make sure that they understood that there would be consequences for crossing him. Somehow or another, we're afraid to do that. My God, sometimes I think it would be interesting to see what it would be like if Nancy Pelosi was Senate Majority Leader. I know she's not nearly ideologically pure enough, but I have a feeling she would know how to whip some damn votes. I mean, the majority whip is called the whip for a reason. He whips the caucus into line to do the bidding. And this is one of those moments where Chuck Schumer, for as strong a language as he used during the recent impeachment trial, seems to lack the will to whip his membership into line.
And so that's the best sort of an explanation that I can come up with. And then, and I've got this, I think I'm, no, Jeremy, I'm going to save that one for tomorrow for Titanic Tuesday, because it is a moment of Titanic intellect by an allegedly progressive person. Ugh. So, hopefully, we will finish off the $190 with the overnight crew. I sure hope we do. Thanks to each and every one of you who keep this program going as partial sponsors with your kind gifts via your subscriptions at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks for meeting Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Thanks for meeting Rico's having my baby seasons in the sun challenge. Thank you. And thank you to Rico and Joey and Giraffe for making it. Thanks again to Gary and to Chris and to Ralphs for making Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Please don't let this thing die on the table. It's all vitally important. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Brand new, fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best way to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. He tells me that he's working on the new intro for the program. I can't wait to hear it. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Billions and billions of hours of progressive radio served. Stay tough, Ben. I know it's hard. Get healed. Get well. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. We're getting closer and closer to maybe getting vaccines sometime, someday. Can't drop our guard even if we've had a vaccine. We're still going to be masking. We're still going to be maintaining social distance. Because we all want to come out the other end of this alive. So if you do have to go out, wear your mask. Put a disposable on over the mask. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Wear nitrile gloves if you can. Carry your hand sanitizer with you. Maintain your social distance 15 feet between people with masks, and try not to be, you know, in the same zip code or area code with people who aren't. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "We're going to go in and make that Nazi store let us shop," avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.